Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Monday, and I'm glad you're with me here on Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Listen, the topic we'll be discussing today, the topic we'll be hearing Derek talk about, is one of the most vital in the lives, certainly, of Western Christians that I've ever encountered. As you know, I pastored for well more than two decades and still pastor in some sense. And one of the things I find to be a constant issue in the lives of believers, whether they even have language for it or not, is rejection, the wound of rejection. Today, we're going to hear Derek Prince say that rejection is one of the deepest wounds a human spirit ever has to endure. And I'll tell you that that's true. People have been rejected. They feel rejected even sometimes when they haven't. And once that wound sets in, once that spirit, that evil critter gets its talons sunk into the human soul, I'll tell you that it just continues to have an effect on their behavior forever. Insecurity, fear of the opinions of men, anger and resentment. Many of us listening today have lived out or are continuing to live out the results of rejection in our lives. This is going to be a vital teaching. I want to urge you to set aside some time this week to really steep in these teachings, listen to them over and again, call friends that you know are dealing or will be dealing with this kind of thing. This is really vital as Derek Prince teaches us about rejection, cause, and cure. Let's listen.
Probably I'd better begin with some kind of a definition. What do I mean by rejection? I'm talking about something in the emotions and in the heart, an attitude, a kind of relationship, or perhaps a failure to relate. One of the best ways to understand the meaning of a word is to consider what its opposites are. Rejection has one obvious, specific opposite, and that is acceptance. So you could define rejection that way, as the opposite of acceptance. Or you could choose a number of synonyms, a number of different words or phrases with similar meaning. And perhaps some of the commonest and most obvious would be these: the feeling of being unwanted, excluded, worthless, not really belonging, somehow on the outside, looking in, but never knowing how to get on the inside. That's the kind of attitude, the kind of inner experience and feeling that I have in mind. And in my years of experience in the ministry, I've discovered that this is probably the most common and the deepest wound that human hearts experience. Particularly in our contemporary American culture, there are uncounted millions of people who have this problem of rejection. And doubtless, there are many who hear this message who will begin to identify their problem. Let me say one thing. The best way to face the problem is to recognize it. If you refuse to face it, you can never solve it. But if you'll face it and accept God's remedy, you can solve this problem. I've dealt with many, many people who have successfully overcome the problem of rejection, and you can be one of those people. In the prophet Isaiah, there's a very vivid picture of what rejection's really like. The Lord is speaking to his people Israel, but he's speaking to them in the terms of being their husband. And he addresses them as a wife who's been rejected by her husband, a situation which is familiar, distressingly familiar, to millions of women in the United States today. This is what the Lord says, Isaiah 54, verses 4 through 6. Do not be afraid, you will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back, as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young, only to be rejected, says your God. The picture comes to its climax there in that last verse. The picture of a wife deserted, distressed in spirit, a wife who married young only to be rejected. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes it's the wife who rejects the husband. And though we regard men as somehow being stronger than women, I know from many, many cases I've dealt with that a man who feels rejected by his wife can suffer inexpressible agonies. I was speaking to such a man, and he laid bare his heart to me, and I realized the deep inner hurt that he was experiencing. In some ways, perhaps it's worse for a man to experience that kind of hurt, because being a man, he feels ashamed of it. This vivid picture in Isaiah picks out two things that are commonly associated with rejection. The Lord says through Isaiah, you will not suffer shame, you will not be humiliated. Those are two things that commonly go, especially with marital rejection, shame and humiliation. To have given yourself without reservation to another person, to have poured out your love upon them, to have made yourself available to them, and then to discover that they have rejected you, very often brings even open shame and humiliation in its train. Those are the external associations, but the internal association is what Isaiah calls a crushed spirit. Other versions use the phrase a wounded spirit or a broken spirit. Now that's something that I've learned to recognize and to deal with.
You know, I had the privilege of writing the biography of Derek Prince, and I can tell you that the truths that he's introducing today are truths he had to live out in some very painful seasons of his life. In fact, we so wanted to illustrate this out of the life of Derek Prince that we've got Pastor Jeff Buck joining us a little later in our time together. He traveled with Derek Prince, ministered with him, was on his board, and he's going to give us some insights into how Derek Prince dealt with these very issues of rejection. You won't want to miss this as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Forgiveness, a slate wiped clean. This, of course, is part of our precious birthright as blood-bought children of God. But as recipients of such amazing grace and mercy, it's vital that we examine our hearts and minds for traces of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. To help you in that important life-restoring process, we'd like to send you a free copy of a newly printed booklet by Derek Prince Ministries titled The Three Most Powerful Words: Discovering the Freedom of Releasing the One Who Hurt Us. Unforgiveness gives the enemy access into our lives and can even provoke God's anger. But when we show forgiveness toward those who wrong us, we empower our prayers, bring healing, and open up the pathway of God's blessing in our lives. To get your free copy of this liberating booklet, The Three Most Powerful Words: Discovering the Freedom of Releasing the One Who Hurt Us, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. We believe God will use this booklet to bring restoration, healing, and freedom. Call now for your free copy. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, delighted that you're with me today, and particularly so because Derek Prince is talking about rejection. That's what we're going to be on all week. It is an extremely important topic for many of us, and I'm excited because I believe some people are going to get set free this week. Derek taught us in the last portion of the teaching that rejection creates a crushed or a wounded spirit. The Bible uses this phrase, crushed spirit, about 15 times in the Old Testament, and we're going to find out a bit more about what that is as Derek teaches us on rejection.
In Proverbs 18, verse 14, the scripture says, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? or a wounded spirit, who can bear? And in Proverbs 15:13, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. You see, wounds in the spirit are difficult to define, difficult to diagnose. They go to a level deeper than the human mind or the human memory. Many people carry wounds in their spirit that they're not actually conscious of. They've covered them over. Their mind won't face them. Their memory doesn't recall them. But they're there, deep down in that innermost area of man, which is called the spirit. Often they go back many, many years to childhood or to experiences in early youth. And the mind refuses to face them. But they remain an objective fact. They're there. And I believe the commonest cause of a wounded spirit is rejection. What causes rejection? Well, we've dealt with one common cause already in Isaiah's picture of the rejected wife. And we've pointed out that sometimes the rejection is by the wife of the husband. However, I believe there's one cause which is even more common, and that is lack of love from one or both parents in childhood. See, God has created a human being with an insatiable desire to be loved and to feel love. And my conviction is every child that's ever been born has been with that longing for love, and love that's expressed. You see, inexpressed love doesn't meet that need. And particularly, it's my conviction based on experience that every child particularly longs for the love of a father, and that it's the love of a father that gives real security. And children that have not grown up knowing the expressed love of a father grow up insecure, and many times with that wound of rejection. There are perhaps three main situations that can bring this wound about. First of all, a child who's unwanted during pregnancy. The mother is carrying a child in her womb she really doesn't want. She may not express it, but the attitude is there. I discovered an amazing thing once in ministering to people, that people in a certain age group belonging to a certain generation seem to have this problem very commonly. And when I traced it back, I discovered that they were children born during the Great Depression. And I began to understand that the mother had so many mouths to feed, she couldn't bear the thought of all that struggle with one more child. And her inner attitude produced in that child, before it ever came forth out of the womb, this wound of rejection. And then I've spoken somewhat about the second main case, a child who does not receive manifested love from the parents, expressed love, warm love, affection. I think there's a kind of bumper sticker we see around that says, "Did you hug your child today?" That's a good question. An unhugged child tends to become a rejected child. And then there's another situation where there's more than one child in a family, but one child receives an unfair measure of love and attention. And another child, just by comparing himself or herself with that particularly favored child, feels rejected. I remember a story of a mother who had two daughters, and she, without knowing it, she favored one above the other. And one day she heard a sound in the room, and she thought that it was the daughter she particularly loved. So she called out, "Are you there, darling?" And the voice replied of the other daughter, "No, it's only me." And then the mother realized the impact that her favor of the one daughter had left on the other. She repented and sought to make up for what that attitude had brought. So you see, these wounds can go back a long, long way, right into childhood.
I'm just fascinated by what Derek has taught here, because he doesn't just deal with rejection as something that happens to us as adults, but he says that rejection can be something that begins to embed itself in our souls, even in the womb. And we've seen this time and again, and those of us who pastor and minister in these areas, counselors and psychologists know, that sometimes the tracks, so to speak, of rejection are laid in our souls from the womb, especially when we are perhaps the product of an unwanted pregnancy. It's a powerful truth, but isn't it good to know that there's deliverance in the gospel of Jesus Christ? In a few moments, Jeff Buck is going to be with us to help us understand how Derek Prince battled these very dynamics himself and how he gained victory. As Derek Prince, Legacy Radio continues.
Why are so many lives littered with tragic mistakes? Derek Prince said it simply, we don't realize our value to God. in his wonderful audio CD, Do You Realize How Valuable You Are?, Derek Prince reveals your value in God's eyes, how God lovingly created you, why Jesus paid the ultimate price for you to spend eternity in heaven. To get your copy of this encouraging audio CD for only $6.95, simply call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. To God, you're priceless. Don't settle for less than His best in your life. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're with me today on this Monday. Joining me today is Pastor Jeff Buck. Now, I hope you know his name from some of the things he's done around the country, but his significance to us today is not only that he's a pastor and a man of God, but he has extensive experience with Derek Prince. He traveled with Derek, worked in the ministry, worked with Derek, and even did seminars and teaching and training based on Derek's material. So he's going to help us today not only understand a little bit more about this man, Derek Prince, but also about maybe some of the battles that Derek had with rejection himself and how he overcame them. Jeff, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's a delight to join you.
Man, for people who don't know you and don't know your story, tell us how you came to the Lord and then also how you came into connection with Derek Prince.
Well, I was the son of an Episcopal priest who did not really know the Lord. And in 1971, while we were living in Maryland, I went to a Bible study one night because a great-looking girl invited me to go. I went to see the girl, met Jesus, led to Christ through a guy who'd been in the Black Panther movement of the 60s, and I came immediately into this supernatural life with God. A year and a half later, I moved with my dad to Central Missouri State University, Warrensburg, Missouri, a new community where he took a church. I felt like I was supposed to go to school there, and became, in my freshman year, a pastor, as it were, of a small group of Jesus people. Well, I didn't know much of what I was doing, but I was having a great time trying to learn my way through the Bible and through pastoral life. And in 1974, someone told me, there's this guy named Derek Prince who's going to be speaking in at Second Presbyterian Church in Kansas City, and you should go hear him. He's a British man. He's well-spoken. And I had never heard of Derek, but I made the time to go. I remember the room. I remember how Derek stood so tall and strong at the front of the room, and how we talked about elders, New Testament leadership, referenced Greek and Hebrew words. I had never heard a man of that stature, that education, be so familiar with the Bible, so personal with the Bible, and so practical. And he was a father figure to those of us who were young and looking into the ministry to find our way along. And through the years, I kept going into conferences with Derek, and then we became minor acquaintances, knew each other by name, and ultimately, having gotten to know him well in the early 80s, he invited me to move to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to pastor at a church with which he was associated. Ultimately, I became a board member. Most importantly, I became a personal friend, was in Derek's home many, many times, traveled, as you said, and he was one of the most delightful, beautiful men I ever knew.
You know, Jeff, one of the things that I've heard from people who have known Derek and ministered with him is how he genuinely lived and believed what he taught. And it's a shame that we even have to make that distinction today. But we all know the Elmer Gantry type of preacher, or even just the average believer sometimes, who espouses one thing but seems to live another with their lifestyle. But what I've heard, and I want to know if you'd confirm it, is that really Derek's life was very consistent with what he taught publicly.
I've always said of Derek, he was more impressive in private than public. I was in his condo here dozens of times in Fort Lauderdale and never found him to be anything but a man of prayer, a man who feared the Lord, a man who sought the Lord, who I would find on his face in the living room seeking God, or come in and find him parsing a Greek word, and always in private conducting himself in one of his most important themes, in the fear of the Lord. He was a godly man, a good sense of humor, and a very godly man in private.
Now, you know, I'm an American, and I like to joke and play and have a kind of a jock athletic background. So when I met Derek, I had sort of talked to myself on the plane because I met him in Jerusalem. Okay, Stephen, you're gonna have to cool all that down and just be the scholarly side of you. You know, I've got a doctorate and university professor and all that. And I got there, and it was as though he said, "Hey, don't do that. Let's play." And he joked and he laughed and he had a sense of humor. And I have to tell you, you know, I grew up in a home where the tapes of Derek Prince were played. I was not exactly prepared for Derek Prince's sense of humor. Can you not only describe that from your perspective, but also maybe give us some examples of how Derek would play and have a good time? Because I think people see him very much in one dimension.
As Derek once said, God called him in 1944 to be a teacher of the scriptures in truth and faith and love. He came into the Christian life in that first phase with a passion for truth. And he tore apart the scripture. His motto was the whole truth to the whole church. And he was a pretty strict Pentecostal, kind of a narrow person in those days. He got into the 70s and 80s and he began to learn faith. But in the 90s, Derek learned love. And in those latter days of his life, he was a very fun, very much of a lover of people. And oh my goodness, he would tell a few jokes, and he would respond very quickly with that wry British humor. I talked once in our church with a whole group of people present about how, having a fourth child, I was indebted to Derek and teach him about having larger families, and I said it in front of a church. I said, "Now, Derek, you are responsible for this." And he with his beautiful sense of humor, he said, "Not directly." And he was so quick on his feet. And I think it was a feature of the fact that he learned to love people. He enjoyed people. He enjoyed people who were totally unscholarly, unlike him. Even going back to the days when I first knew Derek, that room that I went to that was so full of people was filled with 19, 20, 22-year-old drug hippies, and he loved people who were different than he, and he just enjoyed that wry British sense of humor. He was a character.
You know, Jeff, in addition to the humor, of course, we're learning from Derek today all about rejection and the causes of rejection, but you must have seen him, and we've only got about a minute here, but you must have seen him wrestle with rejection. You must have seen him wrestle with the dark night of the soul, so to speak. Tell us a little bit about how he responded and how he lived out privately these truths he's teaching us now.
Well, I think Derek, on the one hand, I heard him once say, "Rejection is not my issue." On the other hand, he had many different occasions of people rejecting him for doctrine, rejecting him for marrying a divorcee, all different kind of things. And he would take it to the cross in a very disciplined way and lay down his fears and things to the Lord. And then he would simply come back and confess God's favor, God's blessing, and he would go on and succeed beautifully.
You know, it's fascinating to hear you talk about this. I wonder if you could describe just in a few seconds, and of course we're going to have you with us again several times this week, but I wonder if you could just describe the impact he had on your life. Can you do that in just a few seconds?
Outside of my father, Derek was the most influential person on my life in those years, and he was to me a teacher of the scriptures, a father figure, and someone I wanted to imitate in every area of my life. He was amazing.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Jeff, it's great having you with us. I want to have you again back again twice this week to really continue to flesh out and explore your relationship and your history with Derek Prince. Thanks for being with us, buddy.
Thank you.
And listen, if you want to listen to any of these teachings that we have this week, we log on to DerekPrince.org. You can hear what Jeff's going to be telling us. You can hear what Derek's teaching us about rejection. This is going to be a powerful week. But that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Get your copy of Derek's CD, Do You Realize How Valuable You Are, when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. The CD is just $6.95. When you order, we'll include a free copy of Derek's booklet, The Three Most Powerful Words. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. or purchase your copy of Do You Realize How Valuable You Are? And request your free copy of the 3 Most Powerful Words booklet securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us at DerekPrince.org.